Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan, service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Daniel Jones, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap here with Cody Carpentier live from the NFL Combine, or at least live from Indianapolis here for our 14th annual trip here to cover the NFL Combine for all of Roster Watch Nation. So pumped to be here with you as we just got done with a day of media interviews for NFL GMs and head coaches going around and trying to ask any fantasy football related questions that we could of these guys before all the prospects start getting in and getting measured, and we get to start bugging them. Today was the day to bug the guys that are actually in the NFL and find out what's going on with some of these teams. Cody, anything stick out to you?
Anything stick out to me? Attitudes. You know, one of my big things today, I know we'll talk about a lot of players, but I think one of the big things that stuck out to me was just the energy that some of the GMs had, the energy some of the coaches had. I guess I found myself listening a lot today. I know I asked a lot of questions. You asked a lot of questions, but listening a lot to guys and watching their brains work. Like, I liked listening and watching Sean Payton's brain work through questions. He's one of the rare guys that, like,
whenever you ask him something, he kind of sits there and stews on it for a minute.
He stews on it. And like, if I go, hey, Alex, what do you think about Marvin Mims and his maturation this year? He'll go, the question is about Marvin Mims and his maturation this year. Yeah. And again, that's like, it's a proper journalism thing because it's good audio, because there's a lot of us.
It's really hard to hear questions.
Really hard to hear the question. And he reiterates it, and then it gives him, but what it does is for a coach, like, it buys him an extra 10, 15 seconds of brain energy thinking about what I want to say about this topic. So right. I just, like, really impressed with a couple of guys, him. You know who I was most impressed with, though, and I don't even got the guy's name completely down yet. It's still listed as Jaguars GM on the paper.
Yeah, James Gladstone.
James Gladstone, right? Yep. Kid looks like Malcolm in the Middle. And the big thing, like, I'll say, I just talked about Sean Payton. He reminded me, and it took about 3-4 minutes of hearing him talk, but the way he talks, maybe it's the vibrations or the tone and how he stacks his answers was just Sean McVay to a T.
Well,
he was there for 6 years, right?
Yeah, so it's like quite an ascension for the guy. And I was thinking to myself, is like, I know it's kind of a rude thing to think, I would guess, but like, he honestly, I would think that he walks into a room for an interview, and I would think a lot of the people in the
think
NFL
he's getting the coffee.
Would look at him and be like, man, and it's simply because he really does look very young, you know. And so I would have to think that he probably brings a lot of juice to that interview, because it feels like it's a kind of that appearance, even though it's just, he looks kind of young. It could be a little bit to overcome, you know what I mean? And
So I think he probably interviewed as well as he, you know, I think he probably had the same impression in his interview that you had of him, just, you know, super, super sharp. And the other thing too is, I think that there's just a lot of youth there right now in Jacksonville, wow, with like Tony Khan starting to do more of this, yes, stuff, and Liam Cohen's super, yes, young. And so it's going to be interesting to see what they do there. But he said, we are immediately raising the floor of this roster. He's laser focused on that. So really interested to see what happens there in Jacksonville. But do you want to go like team by team? I wrote down on this crappy napkin, just some of my kind of takeaways. I don't know if you want to go by that list, or you want to go through the, obviously we don't do much for a show sheet around here at Roster Watch.
We don't do much for a show sheet. I think we can just hop around. I know we don't have a lot of notes from everybody. Like some of these guys are kind of zeros as far as getting anything out of them. And
it's tough when there's just two of us, and sometimes there's four or five of these dudes up there. So we're kind of running around with chickens with our heads cut off. But we're trying to get all the info that we can for you guys. And, of course, we have the best ball cheat sheet that'll be dropping next week with version 1.0. And some of that's going to have to do with some of this stuff, just starting to kind of figure it out. So I guess, you know, how about this? Just let's start with the Bengals stuff. I thought it was so interesting that we have both Duke Tobin and Zach Taylor reiterating the same thing, reiterating the company line about what's going on in regard to getting Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins both paid. And what they've said is the plan is to make Ja'Marr Chase the richest non-quarterback in the league.
Yep.
And also to get T. Higgins signed to a long-term deal. Now, obviously, that's probably going to have a franchise on the front side of it. And they work. It could be that they're just saying that they're going to work towards the long-term deal as something to placate him a little bit with the franchise tag. Now, I don't know, fantasy-wise, like I said before, Ja'Marr Chase is the 101 and non-super flex, and that's going to stay the same even with T. Higgins there, because he's done it with T. Higgins there.
Yeah,
you know, he scored 100 fantasy points more in PPR than in anybody else last season with T. Higgins there most of the year. So not too much to worry about there. I thought what was more interesting was whenever you asked both of those guys about Chase Brown, it feels to me like if the plan really is that they're going to be paying Chase and Higgins and Burrow, you can't, it's not like you're going to have an expensive running back. I think that they've found a guy that they like, that they didn't expend a whole ton of draft capital on, that's on a good contract right now. It feels like they really consider him their primary runner, but you were the ones at the podiums for these ones. What do they say to you about Chase Brown?
I asked Tobin and Duke Tobin, the director of player personnel / acting GM, and then also Zach Taylor, the head coach, both asked them both about expectations for Chase Brown. Asked Tobin predominantly more like what he saw pre-draft, that kind of gave him the idea that Chase Brown would be this guy. And he talked a lot about his, you know, elusiveness, pass protection. He's gotten better in pass protection, catching the ball out of the backfield, which is the same thing that Zach Taylor talked about a lot, was that's a key thing at the running back position that he said Chase Brown can do. The one interesting thing that Zach Taylor added in later was that he actually said directly, like, Chase Brown's our first and second down guy. Yeah. And then he also added in, but he can also do third down, which is nice, but it's not something that is like, it's not something that we have to have, but it's something that's nice because he literally played every snap for us. Both guys talked about Zach Moss, Tobin more in the light of like, we just hope the guy's healthy. We don't even know what his career looks like. Taylor was like, we'll see what happens. They gave him 2 years, $8 million last year. I think that ship has probably sailed as far as Zach Moss goes, and kind of what you kind of talked about a little bit with the contracts for Higgins and Chase and Burrow, whom they said they didn't even have to consider restructuring in this whole conversation, which is a bigger thing.
I just don't understand.
So to end the Chase conversation,
they needed to get this T. Higgins thing done whenever he wanted. He just said, dude, all I want is Michael Pittman money. They should have done it then.
I mean, yeah, everybody knows that.
But I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. But that, I mean, everybody knew that they should have done that at that point. And this is kind of the same thing with Chase, though. Chase, they had a deal nearly finished last fall, last summer, and Chase was like, no, I'll wait. Like, there was a deal done, and Chase wanted to get the deal done. And then at the last minute, he paused the deal. And that was like a news thing that broke today during the presser. The Bengal media also, like, I'm not going to hate on a lot of media. There's some that are like – active. You can't even get in the Tennessee scrum.
Well, it's funny because it's like the if you think about the state of Ohio, the Cleveland media is the most rabid and cockamamie that there is around here, right? And but then the Cincy media is
crickets.
Yeah, they don't even they really don't ask many questions and stuff.
I'm like it's I'm wild. Like front row. I'm like, all right. I normally like
you defer to the local guys.
Yes. Yeah. So like Tennessee comes up and Tennessee is just. Turn Davenport, Paul Kuhersky, you know the guys that are going to ask the first question, so you just kind of know your role. I'm not a local guy. I'm going to stay in the pocket. I'll wait for like the fifth or sixth opportunity.
Yeah.
For Cincinnati, I was like, all right, I'll wait. And it was like 4 or 5 dead seconds. No questions. Like, all right, Chase Brown. All right, depth behind the back. All right, Josevash. Just keep telling me. Keep telling me more things. One more thing on Cincinnati, though. Like, I think the running back situation, as we've kind of talked about, it seems like Chase Brown's got a stranglehold on that thing. They'll probably address it later on. Think of like a Damian Martinez, Scadaboo, Montrell Johnson type of a conversation. I'd say probably fourth, fifth, sixth
What's
area.
What's funny is those guys could be awesome too. They
correct.
It's just wild, man. It's such a deep running back class, and that's what a lot of these GMs said today whenever we asked about it.
The last note I had with Cincinnati was I asked about – I said basically because we just talked about Cincinnati media – everybody asks, everybody. Like there was 40, 50 questions to Duke Tobin about Higgins and Chase and Higgins and Chase. And so finally when Zach Taylor came up, I just go, listen, everyone's asking about T. Higgins and Chase. Can you tell me a little bit about like the other receivers like Josevash? Mm-hmm. And he went on a diatribe about Josevash being, you know, he can play every position. He catches every ball. He's so important.
It's like he was talking about like his own kid or something, dude. He loves Andre Josevash.
And then you know who he brought up? This is my favorite thing about every question you ever ask somebody is when you ask about one guy and they bring up another unsolicited, right?
Yep.
Charlie Football.
So
Charlie Football's trying to get healthy. Charlie Football's he's grinding to get on the field, baby.
No one's at the facility more
than Charlie Football.
Charlie Jones. So just keep an eye out on that. All right. What about Mark Andrews? The Mark Andrews stuff from DaCosta. Was that from DaCosta?
Yeah, that was DaCosta.
From Harbaugh. Harbaugh had an interesting take on the tush push that we're probably maybe we'll talk about that on our college football show later. But for fantasy, I think that the most interesting thing was the Mark Andrews. Your thoughts on the kind of Mark Andrews and what DaCosta's. Man, it's like he was reading a Mark Andrews eulogy.
It was weird because it was like we got to the end. I think it was the last question. I didn't ask it. And the guy basically said, you know, he didn't say like Andrews has been hurt. Andrews is old. He just kind of inferred like, what do you do when this guy's got 1 year left in his contract? Likely he's got 1 year left in his contract, his rookie deal. And DaCosta was basically – and he goes like, you know, how do you diagnose that situation? And DaCosta kind of looks at him and he goes, you know, we're really blessed to have three really good tight ends. Yeah. And I thought to myself, God damn, I mean, Charlie Kohler hasn't done anything, but I know who Charlie Kohler is. He's a great athlete from Iowa State, third-year guy. And then he just started – he said that, and then he goes, you know, Mark Andrews, all-time great Raven. He'll be in the Ring of Honor. There's no bigger fan of Mark Andrews than me. And I just started – Whoa.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Whoa, that is like for someone that he's not even. I think he turns 30 this year.
Yeah, I don't.
If you go into, Andy Reid was asked about Kelce today, and he goes, "Is Kelce going to retire?" And he goes, "That's up to Travis. He'll just do whatever he wants." But like, if you think about like a tight end in his prime, think about Bill Belichick getting asked about like Gronkowski, like Gronkowski. His salary's coming up. Like, he's not going to – it's the point I'm making, I guess, is like if this guy was in your plans, you're saying Mark's been a great asset. I mean, we're going to do all we can to get Mark an extension. We're going to continue to – no, it was like the opposite direction, right? And they know Likely's there. They know how good Likely is. He obviously popped early this season. And Kohler, it just felt like the writing was just clearly on the wall because – part of the initial question from the reporter was like, you know, in trade conversations, like if a trade potentially comes up in conversation, is that something that you would take advantage of essentially?
Who's trading for Mark Andrews?
I think a lot of opportunities for that.
You think so?
Oh, I think,
I mean, what would you give up for Mark Andrews? Like a fourth?
Yeah. Just literally,
but like a 2025 or a 2026.
I think I'd probably try to defer it. Yeah. But I think of again, both AFC teams here, but think of like a Houston, think of a Denver.
Well, because apparently Denver's not going to get Rob Gronkowski.
I don't know about that. I don't know, but I think there's just teams you can think about that you're like, all right, well, I mean, I could tell myself a story here. You could tell yourself a story for the Commanders to maybe go for, you know, Commanders feel like they're in a good spot. Obviously, they just made a push to the NFC title game. It's like, okay, Zach Ertz maybe retires. Yeah. They like Ben Sinnott. They need to add weaponry, though. They need to add a receiver in this draft. And, you know, the doors, there's a lot of spots, I think, yeah, that could use a 30-year-old Mark Andrews that gives you upside for a fourth or fifth round pick, 100%.
A couple of running backs that people probably thought, you know, were on in Dynasty, you should have sold a year ago, right? James Conner and DeAndre Swift, just some interesting thoughts about them. Look, it could be that there's like, here's one thing I'll tell you. Monty Austinfort, the GM for the Arizona Cardinals, loves James Conner. He loves this guy. And because I asked him about Marvin Harrison and Trey Benson, you know, the two guys you drafted last year, what's the end of season evals on those guys? And of course he goes through with Marv and talks about there was things on the film that were really awesome and, you know, led the team in receiving touchdowns, second on the team in reception, second on the team in receiving yards, all this stuff. Right. Really pleased with him as a rookie. Said as far as Trey Benson, got to see him in there, look dynamic at times and stuff. Like, we're certainly hoping, you know, he continues with what we saw towards the down the stretch last season. But it's always kind of hard whenever you're sitting behind one of the best players on the team. And I just said okay. I was like, okay, so this isn't some kind of, you know, James Conner. I mean, they gave James Conner two more years. You know what I mean? Like, I think that, look, if you've held on to James Conner in Dynasty,
you've made money.
Yeah. And the thing is, you're not going to get anything for him in return. So just keep holding on to him because he's going to be there. He's going to continue to be their running back one for at least this year. And maybe we'll see that changing the guard, barring injury and stuff like that, the year after.
Yeah.
During the second year of the extension, because, you know, I asked Jonathan Gannon the same thing about Benson, and he said, what's the expectation this year? And he says, I'm expecting him to light it up. He goes, who says you only need to have one running back one?
Yeah.
You know, so he was basically saying Connor's our running back one, right? He's saying, who says that you only need to have one? It's like, what kind of math says it? But, you know, there's a running back one and a running back two, right? So, I think that Conner, you know, you're not going to be able to get anything for him in Dynasty. But the good news is, if you've held on to him and just think you got this dead asset that, you know, you're not going to be able to use, I think you're going to be able to use him for another year. And I'm not sure the same can be said about DeAndre Swift, just because he kind of looked bad. But, I mean, He's in a Ben Johnson offense now.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
At
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And whenever Ben Johnson was asked about him, he has experience with him. He was talking about their shared time together in Detroit. And he said that he knows that DeAndre Swift is a guy that can ignite an offense. Ignite an offense?
I'm surprised you didn't ask about Roshan.
Yeah, probably should have. But, well, maybe if maybe he could – I mean, it's definitely be the you know, it's a real, real, real Dollar Tree version of Montgomery and Gibbs. As the Big Lots version would be Roshan and DeAndre Swift. But who knows, man? It could be I think that they have to address running. I think the Bears have to address running back. But
you think a Devin Neal could go in there and just, like, take that job and
I don't think it,
training camp?
Well, look, I don't think it's just the – look, it's not just the running backs that are really good in Detroit. And it's like everybody says that we want – you know, that's why we're talking to somebody today that's a scout who's saying, you know, everybody wants the Jahmyr Gibbs. And that's why Travion Henderson is, you know, moving up boards and stuff like that. And I'm just like, well, it's not just Montgomery and Gibbs are really good. It's that the offense has all kinds of weaponry. It's hard to defend everybody, and the offensive line is just ass-kicking maulers. And the Bears' offensive line is not. They have issues, and so I'm not sure that we can just go one-to-one of what Ben Johnson was doing in Detroit and just copy and paste it onto Chicago as far as these kind of player archetypes. But I will say – DeAndre Swift, it's like if you thought he was dead and you're like, you know, my sell window is past in Dynasty, I will say your sell window in Dynasty probably has passed because it's going to take a lot of explaining, right, to your league mate to just put all this together and say, oh, you know, he's going to be the Gibbs, and he might not be, right? But it feels like there's a little bit of hope, right? A little bit of hope that he could be usable.
I don't know, man. I was always anti DeAndre Swift, and then that one year behind that Eagles offensive line, it felt right, and he popped a little. And I think I just put that thing right back in the bag and tried to get rid of as many of those DeAndre Swift shares as I could.
Speaking of guys who you would have loved to just ship off to a coconut island in Dynasty,
Can you please say Kyle Pitts next?
Kyle Pitts.
Okay, I was gonna say because me and Maddie Kiwum have this like running bit. We did a show for the last 2 years, and I had my little brother on, Tiger.
Yeah.
And Tiger at one point last year, like around this time, basically said, "I want to put Kyle Pitts on a train on never-ending tracks and just ship him off." And I thought that was one of the greatest things ever.
Look,
and I think you just perfectly brought that full circle to me.
He's gonna. Look, I mean, this is going to be a big time, like, it's going to, but look, man, it's not like you're doing the trust fall with Kyle Pitts right now. I don't have my computer on me. I don't have my usual resources. I probably should have gotten them, but, you know, in putting together the best ball cheat sheet, I was a little bit shocked at how low his ADP is.
What is he, like tight end 12 or something?
No, I think it was some, I mean, I don't know. It's lower than, it's terrible.
Really?
It's very, very, very low. Travis Kelce's got a very low ADP also.
Well, I think people partially think he's going to retire. So there's a value in that if you think he's going to be back, which I think he will be.
What Super Bowl winning GM Terry Fontenot was saying is that, you know, I was asking about Pitts and just like what's the story, you know, like, you know, and he's like, look, when you're drafted that highly, sometimes it comes with unrealistic expectations. But we're still team Kyle Pitts. You know, we had, I guess they were having their exit interviews and they were saying like, hey man, like we like some of the strides that you made this year. I feel like you guys and just pointing to the various D-led and the assembled Atlanta media saying, I know you guys saw some of the strides in the games and in practice. I mean, I guess there were some highlights from some of these games this year.
For sure, man.
But it was just like sometimes it takes a little while to a little while to come together. And it's just like, sometimes expectations can be unrealistic, and he was so young coming out and all this. So Kyle Pitts, I'm not sure that, like I said, like it's a pretty big trust fall. He feels really, really, really cheap right now. Really cheap.
Probably a pretty good value. I mean, if you think that, I asked Brahim Morris what he thought about the importance of continuing to add weaponry around Michael Penix, and I listed off all the guys, Bijan and London.
He should have said, we have all the weaponry we need. We need to fix our defense.
And he mentioned Ray Ray and Mooney and stuff. And he's like, but you can never add too much weaponry. And I just thought that was interesting. Oh, but there was a note from D-Led. D-Led tweeted out today, D-Linder Ledbetter from
AJC.
AJC, there you go. And he had a tweet that said basically, I want to get it correct, so I'm going to pop it up here, and it's taking me a second for the audio listeners. I pasted it in here on purpose. I didn't want to miss this. He said that all of the attending – I can't get it right. Whatever. All of the attending Atlanta Falcon scouting assistants, coaches and stuff, it's only defensive people here. There's no offensive. Yeah. There's no offensive scouts. There's no offensive assistants. It's a strict defense, and all of their combine interviews are with defensive players.
It needs to be, man. You can't keep drafting a 7-on-7 team. You just can't do it. It's going to be the same way for the Panthers this year. It's going to be defense.
Yeah. What'd you get from? Was that? Did you talk to Dan Morgan? Did you?
Yeah. I mean, the one thing about him, I was just asking because we also have the Texas college football show and the SEC show. It's called Football with Friends, and we'll be on that show right after this. And so I was, I wanted to ask about Jatavion Sanders and whatever. And I mean, basically, and I think whenever it was. Whenever it was Canales, there was somebody else that even asked. People are asking about JT Sanders. I thought it was interesting. He says like he's their frontline tight end right now. He says our tight end room is thin. Dan Morgan says it's thin. JT Sanders is our frontline guy right now. So you can either take that as saying
they need to go to Thomas Fedoni and stay away from all the Mason Taylors and stuff. They need to stay away so JT can get his opportunity.
Oh gosh, no the. I think you take that as saying, for one, well, that's JT's number one on the depth chart right now, as far as they're concerned. Number two, there's not a lot of competition right now, as far as they're concerned. But the bad news, is that they admit that this whole situation is real, real thin. You know what I mean? And they feel like they need to fix it. And so you can take that for what you will. It feels like there's a little bit of an opening here for JT Sanders on what should be. On what should be an offense that's improving,
yeah,
and also on an offense where Morgan was straight up asked, he's like, "Are you in need of a wide receiver one? I mean, you have Xavier Leggett, you have Jalen Coker, you have Adam Thielen. I get it, but are you in need of wide receiver one?" And he's like, "Man, I love our wide receivers." He started out by saying that and how these guys got better and how Thielen's old reliable and how Coker made more strides than they would have thought and all this. But then said, obviously, I'm going to do everything I can to get as many playmakers on our offense as I can. But they feel relatively happy with those guys. To me, it feels like one of the most unassuming wide receiver units in the whole entire league. And if the offense continues to get better, like JT's a good man. I've been hearing too about JT Sanders. He was working out with guys, the same training facility as guys like Walter Nolan and Shamar Stewart and those guys. And I talked to a guy that saw him, and he's like, dude, JT looks really, really good. He looks amazing. And this was a guy at Texas that saw him like every day.
Yeah.
And he's like, what are you doing different? He's like, dude, it's just so boring in Carolina. I don't have anything to do besides work out and stick to the program. So we'll see. So kind of another guy just to kind of, maybe just – keep keep on the old watch list, especially in tight end premium. He's a talented guy.
I do have two other thoughts, but I do want to let you know at the end of the show, I got our outro question. I got it. Okay. I got it for you. All right. My one question though is about the Packers. So Brian Gutekunst was one of the lead GMs that came out today, and I asked him about injuries at the receiver position and Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs entering contract years. And he brought up, did Christian Watson just – I forgot this. He tore his ACL like in like November, December.
Was it a torn – I don't think it was – was it a torn ACL? It was another one where I think his dad kind of disputed it.
Because he basically said that
– he said that he's not sure if he's going to be ready for the beginning of the season.
Correct.
So I forget if it was a torn ACL or if it was some kind of weird foot thing or something. I
totally had forgot that he got hurt again. Knee. Okay, so everybody took that. Now it's a – okay. Well, everyone's tweeting and posting about it. Knee.
Okay.
Anyway. So Christian Watson expected some time. Romeo Doubs had another – I think he had like two concussions this year, including one with the Guardians.
And he gets kicked off the team for personal reasons for a week and stuff.
Yeah. Well, him and Spears were the two guys this year that got concussions with the Guardian helmet on, by the way.
Yeah.
And so then obviously Wicks is there as well, Reed's there. I think that receiver position is going to continue to be something they look at. Another question I had for you was tush push. Three different coaches, I think I heard, answer questions about the tush push. And it seemed to me that I think the best way it was explained and why Raheem Morris said, if anybody asks me, I'm going to vote against keeping that thing legal, because he goes, in any other facet of the game, if you have a player behind another player pushing them or pulling them.
No, pushing them's allowed. It's just not pulling them.
But it's the same concept.
No, it's not. It's illegal use of the hands to be in front and pull somebody in.
But I'm telling you, it's the same concept, and that's what Raheem said. Raheem was basically saying it's the same concept that you're pushing or pulling a player and you're getting in behind them. That's what he said. I'm just saying what he said.
But what John Harbaugh said was much more sensical. And what he said was like, he's like, if you're gonna make the tush push illegal,
yeah,
you also have to make it illegal for if a running back before his forward progress is stopped, for these linemen to come from back from behind
Boom.
Him and nail him forward and stuff, because it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like in rugby, it's called a ruck it's either ruck or a maul. I forgot which one. But everybody comes
every time
and you go push them forward. It's a perfectly legal play. Coaches look at those plays and they come to the sidelines, they talk to Lisa Salters and they say that that was a culture play right
there. Yeah. You get all 11 I mean? Guys.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, if that's legal, I think the only thing that you could say would be it's only maybe not legal to do it behind the line of scrimmage or within a certain distance from the line of scrimmage.
I think behind the line of scrimmage maybe is a,
but
is
adequate. But then it's like, why is it that much more dangerous 5 yards away from the line of scrimmage than it is right there at the line of scrimmage?
I don't know how dangerous it is. That's the problem.
I just think it's like, I'm with Harbaugh on this, and I just don't understand exactly what
it's football.
What Raheem Morris was saying, because the pushing part clearly is legal. We see that once a game every Sunday. All right, just quickly, Liam Cohen says that the offense, they're going to run it through Brian Thomas Jr. I'm just like not. Not surprised at all to hear that. He says he wants to build that team through the lines and then with guys that score touchdowns, and he sees BTJ as the guy that is going to be scoring the touchdowns. The Raiders are very – what's the guy's name?
John
Spytek.
Yep.
Is there Spytek? I don't know.
I don't know, whatever.
Cool dude.
Spytek sounds better.
Cool dude. I hope he does well, because he has a cool attitude and seems to be a nice guy. But – he says he's very well. They're very well aware of this upcoming running back class. I mean, these guys are going to take. These guys might take multiple running backs because he's.
Oh no! R.I.P. Zamir White shares.
Yeah, Mike Borgonzi, the Titans GM. Just something interesting. You know, if you guys are playing in Superflex stuff or whatever, if you do find out in free agency that they take a quarterback. This is a relatively significant quarterback. I don't think that that's a tell that they're not going to take a quarterback, a rookie, because he says everywhere he's been, they've always wanted to have a veteran quarterback there to kind of mentor their young quarterback and sort of almost be part of the coaching staff. Think, I mean, gosh, he was with the Chiefs when they had Alex Smith and Mahomes do that, I would guess. But he says that at other stops, they've done that. So I just just a little word of advice. I know in super flex leagues, you can, whenever they open up, if we do see a quarterback go to Tennessee and it's somebody that's of this won't happen because I think the Jets really like it, but it's, let's say like Tyrod Taylor were to go down there or something, right?
Rodgers.
You would think to yourself, all right, I'm going to go, go put in a bid on Tyrod Taylor, go pick him up because he's probably going to start. They're not going to draft a guy now. It's like, no, that he says that even if they do draft, they're going to be in the free agent quarterback market, regardless of whether they're planning on taking quarterback or not. The only other thing I have is that Ortiz is another guy who is very, very, very aware of the depth at the running back position this year. He talked about it, and it really is an awesome running back class, man. They're going to be guys who can come in and start and be dynasty first round rookie draft picks that gets taken in the fifth round of this draft if they get taken by a team like the Chargers. And so just another thing to keep an eye on there is the Chargers. I think the Chargers, Raiders, Broncos, Sean Payton Sean Payton said running back and tight end are in the must realm for us this year, in the gotta have it kind of realm.
Yeah.
So be expect, and then what he told me, you asked him about, I think it's curtains for like they think of Estime and Jaleel McLaughlin and Blake Watson and
Tyler Bidet
and Tyler Bidet. And he's just like, he sees them all the same.
Yeah. I kind of laid it up to him and I was like, you look at the running back room, like what did you see from growth last year in those guys? And he basically said, I would lump in about Audric Estime and Blake Watson, who I don't think are in the same tier, but nonetheless, he goes, I would lump in Jaleel McLaughlin and Tyler Bidet in there as well. And they just talked about the importance of the running back position. And basically all I got out of that was, none of those guys are starting for us, and we're going in the direction of Dynamo, which to me, I mean, he didn't say that, but I mean, that's what I read through it. So I think we're on Travion Henderson watch with Denver type of situation.
All right. What are you getting us out with?
I got one question for you.
All right.
We've talked about both these players on the show today. Tight end. Best ball cheat sheet comes out next week. You can scan that QR code on the top right side of the screen. You get the Dynasty Top 250.
I don't even have the ADPs.
When you tap in to the Dynasty Top 250, that's a pro or premium membership over there. You also get the cheat sheet here next week. All right. Tight end position. You're ripping drafts next week on Underdog, right? Who would you rather have in 2025? Kyle Pitts or Jatavion Sanders?
Kyle Pitts. Oh, gosh.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.